الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا
الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Most respected ulama, elders, brothers, mothers and sisters listening from home, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our master, our cherisher, our nourisher, our provider, our sustainer. And we send the choicest of salutations, salawat and salam upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That person that recites one durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses him with 10 ranks or 10 mercies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes or wipes out 10 of his transgressions and elevates his rank by 10 times. Let us all recite durood sharif. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadi wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammadi wa ashabihi wa barik wa sallim. Respected brothers, we are living in a very interesting time where the world is advancing at an astonishing pace. And material progress is accelerating rapidly, so much so that it can also feel overwhelming. But as Muslims, our primary concern is not worldly achievement. Our concern is the progress of our soul, our ruh, our iman, our faith, and ultimately our objective is the akhirah, the hereafter. At the same time, we do not live in isolation. We and our children after us must live and interact with this world. Therefore, it is imperative that we understand the changes that are happening around us and learn how to navigate them in a way that brings benefit to our dunya, this world, and most importantly, benefit to our akhirah and protection from a negative outcome in the akhirah. And amongst the most significant advancements of our time is the rise of artificial intelligence, or AI, as it is commonly known. Now, this is not a passing trend, a moment in human history similar to the Industrial Revolution or the invention of electricity or the invention of the printing press or the invention of automobiles. This is something that is set to change the way that we live, that we interact. And therefore, it is important that we as Muslims understand what is AI, how does it impact us, and most importantly, how does it impact our iman, our ruh, our soul, our well-being. Now let us understand that Islam is not opposed to knowledge, progress, technology. In fact, the whole creation of man from inception was rooted in knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself taught Adam alayhi salam the names and the meanings of everything. This was a foundational aspect of knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. The people of knowledge and those who are ignorant can never be equal. It's not possible for them to be equal. So Islam values sound knowledge, encourages discovery, learning and advancement, but within the parameters and the framework of the Sharia. So what is artificial intelligence? Very simply, artificial intelligence, or AI, refers to the ability of machines to simulate human thinking and decision making. So it involves supercomputers around the world, which because of the advancement of technology and computing power, now what you can do is a lot more than what you could do a decade ago. So these supercomputers collect and analyze huge amounts of data, trillions and trillions of data points. And then a program is written that creates the ability to learn from patterns within these data and to then allow that machine to act autonomously without human instruction. This is what AI in reality is. In simple terms, AI means that machines are attempting to think and act intelligently. Attempting to think and act intelligently. Now, you may be thinking that, what does this really impact my life? I have no involvement with AI. But I'd invite you to think again. Because AI is embedded in our lives already. This is not something of the future. This is something of the present. Let me give you a few examples. The face ID or the biometric recognition that you have to get into your phones, powered by AI. The voice assistant on your phone, if you use it, Siri or Google Assistant, powered by AI. Social media apps, if you are on any social media app, there are algorithms behind those apps that track what you look at and recommend certain things for you to see, powered by AI. If you go onto online shopping, Amazon, Takealot, etc., there are underlying artificial intelligence algorithms that track what you shop and give you recommended suggestions. That is why, if you have to go onto the internet and you have to search for a pair of shoes, and then you look at your Facebook feed or some of your other social media feeds, suddenly you see deals about shoes, deals and deals upon shoes in different parts of the world. This is AI that is tracking what you are doing. If you use Google Maps or any other map application, uses artificial intelligence to analyze the traffic data that is around and to recommend and suggest to you optimal routes. Spam filters on your email, or even the autocorrect function on WhatsApp or your phone, which sometimes can be very annoying, that autocorrect function is powered by artificial intelligence. So AI is not something of the future, it is the present, and it is rapidly evolving. What we have known until now is mostly predictive AI. Software that uses past data to make informed predictions. But what we are seeing today is something called generative AI. Generative AI is a technology that creates new content. Sometimes it is text, sometimes it is images, sometimes it is videos. And we are now moving into uncharted territory. Hence, it is important for us to understand this tool, to understand the impact of this tool on our lives, and how we navigate it going forward, particularly for the younger generation. For example, this morning I asked a generative AI tool to produce a list of ahadith on the topic of ilm, on the topic of knowledge, with the Arabic, the English translation, and a full referencing of the source. Within seconds, less than 10 seconds, dozens of ahadith were produced. The translation was fairly accurate. The source was cited, and I checked the sources were correct. And AI then asked me a question. AI asked me the question, would you like me to give you the classical commentaries of the ahadith? So I said, yes, give me the classical commentaries. And it then began within seconds to generate this hadith comes here. And it also asked me, would you like me to give you the full chain of transmission of these ahadith and give you the grading of these ahadith? So it also produced that as well. Now, of course, there were flaws. There were flaws because this tool pulls data from unverified sources, which at the moment is the internet. But imagine the potential if the underlying Islamic data is accurate and verified. At the same time, AI technology is being used for evil. Military targeting and surveillance. Surveillance using facial recognition by governments around the world of certain individuals so that your movements can be tracked. Inshallah, in South Africa, I don't think we've reached there as yet. We still have problems with electricity and water. But in other parts of the world, governments can track. These are people that we are looking for. These are people that we don't want. These are people that are going to certain areas with agendas that we are not comfortable with. So we must ask, how do we as Muslims engage with this tool in a way that benefits our deen and protects us from harm? And this is what I wish to discuss today. Number one, we need to understand that AI is a tool. It depends on how it is used. Like any other technology, like any other tool, like a firearm for example, it can be used for good and it can be used for evil. We must not ignore it or assume we can shield ourselves from its influence, because whether or not you and I use AI, our children and future generations definitely will be engaging with AI. And we are already seeing these effects. If you look at social media addiction, mental health issues, behavioral challenges, many schools have reached out to say that we are seeing the difference in the behavior of grade 4 and 5 learners this year compared to 5 years ago. We can't understand, we can't keep them under control. What has changed? Is there a change in the diet? Is there a change in something going on at home? Is it the COVID vaccine? Some people may say it's the COVID vaccine, but the reality of it is they are engaging with social media far more today than they were previously. Number two, we must understand that AI is not the source of Islamic knowledge. As Muslims and especially as lay people, we cannot rely on AI to issue fatwa or give Islamic guidance. Whilst AI can assist in information retrieval, very importantly, it is devoid of ruhaniya, it is devoid of spirituality, and it is devoid of basira. It is devoid of insight. These are things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses. أَفَمَنْ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ فَهُوَ عَلَى نُورٍ مِّنْ رَبِّهِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses this not to computers, but to human beings. Therefore, many, many years ago, before the invention of AI, or the formalization of AI, invention was there 2-3 decades ago, our Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib used to give an example and say that we have an information explosion. So much of information today on the computer. You can plug in and ask a question on the computer and it can cite so much to you. But he says, does anybody take the computer and tie a turban on the head of the computer? You are Maulana so and so. No. This is given to a human being. Therefore, it is very important for us to understand, especially as we are moving from the age of Google Fatawa. The last decade was Google Fatawa, and we now have AI-generated Fatawa. Already half of Gen Z is anybody that was born from 1997 onwards. Shocking statistics. More than half of them utilize AI on a daily, weekly basis to assist them in living their lives. They trust AI more than they trust actual people. And they use it to assist them in their jobs, in their careers, in their human relationships. How should I respond? How should I do this? How should I do that? This becomes extremely dangerous when it relates to our deen. Therefore, one scholar said, ilm, knowledge is that which will help you to answer the three questions of the grave. This is ilm. Anything that will help you to answer the three questions of the grave, this is ilm. Everything else is data. Everything else is data. Therefore, we cannot confuse data with ilm and sacred knowledge. Number three, we need to beware of AI's potential to control our minds. AI algorithms decide what appears on your social media feed. And they are designed to feed you with more of what you already agree with. Therefore, when we are pro-Palestine and we search on social media, Instagram, YouTube, etc., for different accounts and videos or whatever it may be related to Palestine, thereafter you will see more and more videos on your feed with respect to that. But if you take another person sitting right next to you, and if they are pro-Israel, for example, or pro-Zionism, and they have to search for content related to that, they will see on their feeds everything that is pro-Zionism, and they may never see something that is pro-Palestinian at all. Therefore, they are living in an augmented reality, and you are living in a different world that is powered by AI. Now, let us understand, if somebody manipulates that algorithm, they can control the entire world view. And it happened previously. In 2013, there was a consulting company called Cambridge Analytica. They harvested data from more than 87 million Facebook users, and they used that data to influence elections in the United States in 2016. They used that data to influence the Brexit referendum. And in fact, subsequent to that, you can go and Google it and see, or maybe you can use ChatGPT AI to give you the answer, that Facebook itself was called into Congress, had to pay a fine of $5 billion for its involvement in this data privacy breach. So just understand that if these tools can be used to attack Islam, to spread misinformation, or even push young people away from the deen, all under the guise of a recommendation. And there are already efforts underway. There is one Islamic institute in the United States that employs Muslim tech experts to help correct AI-generated Islamic content. Why do they do this? Because 10 years ago, they discovered that Zionist think tanks had manipulated Google's algorithms to push out anti-Islamic content when people searched for Islam. So when you searched for Islam, you would see things about terrorism. You would see things anti-females, wife-beating, slavery. All of this content was being pushed by these think tanks using the Google algorithms. And so therefore, these institutes came about to get the experts involved to dispel that, So now when you search for Islam, you will be directed to the right sites. You will be directed to the right content. And the same has to apply to AI. Number four, the Ummah must not fall behind again. In the past, Muslims led the world in science, technology and innovation. And I will mention one scholar, 7th century Hijri calendar scholar, 13th century Gregorian calendar scholar, Al-Qarafi. Again, go out and research him. A jurist in Cairo, in Egypt, in Misr at the time. A renowned Maliki jurist, a renowned Mufassir, a renowned expert in Tafsir and various other Islamic sciences. But in addition to that, he was an expert in mathematics. And his work has proven to be foundational in mechanical engineering and robotics today. So this was the history that we had. But at the same time, we also made certain errors when it came to technological advancement. For example, certain aspects of the Muslim Ummah or certain segments of the Muslim Ummah banned the printing press when it first came out. And this resulted in those pockets of a centuries-long setback. So we need to learn from our mistakes. We cannot afford to reject or fear technology blindly. Another important aspect is to understand the ethical component of AI. As machines get more involved, and remember, what we're seeing today is the tip of the iceberg. Hundreds of billions, if not trillions of dollars, will be invested to make AI even better, to do more and more. And you will reach a point where there is an ethical dilemma about whether AI can make certain decisions. For example, you have a self-driving car, like a Tesla. You have a self-driving car, and that car now needs to make a decision. It's driving along the road. A child is crossing the street. Remember, it's a self-driving car. The human being is not driving it. A child is crossing across the street, and the car needs to make a decision. Do I save the life of the driver, or do I save the life of the child? Now we hand this decision over to machines to make. Or, for example, today, AI can be used to identify sites for bombing in warfare, but the United Nations has certain resolutions. Whether anybody follows the resolutions is a different story. But at present, the United Nations resolution is that a human being needs to press the green or the red button before a bomb is dropped. AI or machines cannot make that decision. What happens when AI is set out to make those decisions? So what does this mean for you and I? One aspect that we need to consider is that we have to develop our own technical expertise as a Muslim Ummah. We must create our own Islamic tools. We must empower our youth to lead in this space so that we no longer sit on the other side of the narrative like we are today, where AI and these technologies are controlled by others, but rather we control the narrative from our side. And we use the AI, we use the tools for the benefit of the Ummah. Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam: the best of people are those who are most beneficial to them. AI has some amazing benefits. Medical AI that can assist doctors in conglomerating whole sets of data to be able to make a more informed diagnosis. This is something that is beneficial for the Ummah. Or for example, you have AI technology in the Uber app, which by the way was developed by a Muslim tech expert working for Google, for Uber, where it is able to use your phone to track whether the car has been in a crash or not. And if it is in a crash, then they will send out help, they'll send out assistance. So these things are beneficial for the Ummah. Therefore, we need to encourage our youth to pursue careers in AI. Today, alhamdulillah, it doesn't have to be formalized education. There are many opportunities that are available to pursue careers in computer science and all of these types of things. And number two, as a business community, we need to start investing in these think tanks. We need to start investing in these tech-driven platforms, because these things require funds. Unfortunately, they require funds and they are very expensive. And as a community, we are generally bias towards traditional investments, traditional donations. We need to start thinking very differently. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the correct understanding. To summarize, we discussed a little bit about artificial intelligence. It's a very broad field. There is a lot that one can go out and research. If anybody, in conclusion, I'll share this point, is interested in learning a little bit more about it, but within a Sharia Sharia compliant context, go out and research Darussalam Academy in the United States in Chicago. They had a retreat for an entire weekend last year. Everything is uploaded online. Alhamdulillah, this organization is driven by ulama, by muftiani ikram, who interestingly graduated from South Africa many, many years ago. And they've brought in tech experts, Muslim tech experts from some of the big tech giants to help to unpack this. Again, Darussalam Academy, go out, Google it, and there's a lot of content that is there. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the correct understanding. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from the evil of these types of tools. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to use these tools for the benefit of the ummah and the benefit of mankind. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.